Welcome to this message from Eastwood Baptist Church, one church with two locations in Bowling Green and Alberton, Kentucky. To learn more, visit eastwoodbc.org. Now, may the Lord bless you in the hearing of His holy word.
Hey, I want to invite you to grab your copy of God's Word. Go with me to 1 Timothy chapter 5. Today is indeed Mother's Day. And to help you get the right frame of mind and the right frame of heart, all you have to do is to spell the word mother. Can y'all do that with me this morning? Let's try it. You ready? M-O-T-H-E-R. Good job. That's how you spell mother, right? Now, mother. M is for the million things she gave me. You remember the old song? O means I owe her all I own. T is for her tender, sweet caresses. H is for her hands that made a home. E means everything she's done to help me. R means right, and right she'll always be. Put them all together, they spell mother, a word that means the world to me. One of God's greatest gifts to you and to me is indeed our mother. And last week, as we were walking through the text, we realized, we found out that that gift is actually multiplied, because here in the church, we have many mothers. 1 Timothy 5, verse 1 and 2 said last week, look at it. Do not rebuke an older man, but encourage him as you would a father. Younger men as brothers, older women as mothers, younger women as sisters in all purity. And so we're a family. That's what he's saying here. And so that means, particularly today, guys, that God through Paul is teaching us that anybody in the church who is old enough to be your mama should be treated as a mama in the faith, a mother in the faith. And so when you come to Christ, you're brought into a family. And you gain many fathers, many mothers, many sisters, many brothers. And in many ways, as I said last week, this new theological family is even more important than our biological family. But here's the key, and I said this last week, it does not erase our biological family. Like, God still has responsibilities and desires for us within that family, right? He set up the biological family unit as the building blocks for society. Therefore, the woman that gave birth to you, she should hold that special place in your heart and in your mind. And one of the ways that you love God is to love your mama until the day you or she dies. Honor her, encourage her, care for her. And then this mindset that we see here, that we know biologically between moms and sons and daughters, this mindset extends to care for our mothers in the faith here in the church as well. And this becomes especially important in the event that your mom or one of our mothers in the faith becomes a widow. Again, we've already read this text, but even on the cross, Jesus Christ was dying a horrific death, and his widowed mother was on his mind. Now, we're not told when her husband Joseph died, but we don't see him after the early part of the gospel, do we? But again, we read John 19, 25 through 27. Standing by the cross of Jesus were his mother and his mother's sister, Mary the wife of Clopas, and Mary Magdalene. When Jesus saw his mother and the disciple whom he loved standing nearby, he said to his mother, "Woman, behold your son." Then he said to the disciple, "Behold your mother." And from that hour, the disciple took her to his own home. Mary, who was not his mother, became his mother in the faith. Jesus made sure that she was cared for even after he was gone. Now, Jesus had other brothers, but they weren't Christians yet. And so Jesus entrusted the care of his widowed mama to John, the disciple whom he loved. And God demonstrates to us over and over again in his word that widows among us should be given special attention. Indeed, how we care for them is one sense a barometer of our saving faith. James 1:27 tells us this. It says, "Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this: to visit widows and orphans in their affliction and to keep oneself unstained from the world. And so as we think about caring for these mothers in the faith, how are we to understand them? How are we to help them? How are we to love them? Again, these are our birth mothers and our mothers in the faith. And so God, through Paul, he gives us instructions here to show us the way, and healthy churches follow this way. I want to invite you this morning to stand to honor the reading of the Word of God this morning. God's Word, and you know, this is one of the reasons I love preaching expositionally through books of the Bible, is that God often takes care of the calendar. I didn't plan to speak on this passage on Mother's Day necessarily. It just came about in this regard, and so I just thank the Lord for his planning in this regard. But here's what the Word of God says. Verse 3, going down through the 16th, it says, honor widows who are truly widows. But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them first learn to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God. She who's truly a widow, left all alone, has set her hope on God and continues in supplications and prayers night and day. But she who is self-indulgent is dead even while she lives. Command these things as well, so that they may be without reproach. But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever. Let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age, having been the wife of one husband, and having a reputation for good works. If she has brought up children, has shown hospitality, has washed the feet of the saints, has cared for the afflicted, has devoted herself to every good work, but refused to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry, and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their form of faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander, for some have already strayed after Satan. If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened, so that it may care for those who are truly widows. Thus ends the reading of the Word of God this morning. Let's ask God's help here. And so, Father, in the name of Jesus, we come and ask that you would help us, Lord, as we open your Word. We don't dare open your Word without asking your Holy Spirit to give us insight into what you mean and to how we're to live this out. And so help us to do this today, God. I want to pray just particularly right now for those who've never turned and trusted Jesus. I pray that a message even on 1 Timothy 5 here about mothers and widows and caring well for them, I pray that even in this, God, that you would draw people to Christ today and that someone would be saved. It's in Jesus' name we ask this. And all God's people said, amen. So grab your seat there. So here's today's truth. As we think about this series, this is a series on healthy church. What is it to be a healthy church? And here's today's truth. A healthy church cares well for widows. These are our mothers in the faith. You've heard me say that 1,000 times already today, but we got to get this in our brain. We got to get the language of the Bible in our heads. So our primary command here in the text here is their honor, right there in verse 3. Honor widows who are truly widows. And Paul's not talking about just giving them an award or to recognize them or to just make sure that we give them respect. He's talking about making sure that they're taken care of. And our text here gives us three ways for you and for me to care well for widows. The first way as a church to care well for widows is to challenge family to care for their own. Right, that's the expectation coming from the church of God, that family would care for their own. So like if you have a widowed mother, you are called by God to care for her. And our first responsibility is to challenge you to do that. You should honor your mama. But here's the deal. That doesn't just begin in her old age. It begins when you're a child. In fact, we learn straight away in the Ten Commandments that it is our duty. Exodus 20:12 commands us, honor your father and mother, that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. Now notice that there are no time boundaries to this commandment. Honor your father and mother, period. It encompasses the entirety of your life. It begins at birth, and it continues until you die or she dies. And listen, teenagers, you don't get the teenage years off. But even through there, you're called by God to honor your mama. Also notice that this commandment comes with a promise, it says. Honor your father and mother that your days may be long in the land that the Lord your God is giving you. In fact, Ephesians 6:2 explains that this is the first commandment given with a promise. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise, the Word of God says. And that promise is that God will bless you if you'll do this well. God will bless you if you do this well. And so children and teens, those of you who are still living at home with mom, I hope that you all go like way out today, right? I mean, I hope you guys do some amazing things. I hope there are cut things and pasted and cards and flowers and lunches and breakfast in bed and all of those things. I hope you go all out for mama today to make her feel honored. But keep in mind, young ones, keep in mind, young folks, that honoring her is not just a one day out of the year thing. It's a 24/7 thing. How you speak to her, how you help her, how you spend time with her and engage in conversation with her, how you obey her. Listen, she loves cards, she loves flowers, she loves the gifts. Don't get me wrong, but she would love even more if you would strive every day to highly honor her. Again, we're not talking about a day, we're talking about a lifestyle. And it's a lifestyle that is trained up in childhood, but then carries forward until she is old. That childhood honoring of our father and mother, it matures as we mature. So we continue to honor her, right? We grow more and more to care for her. And while your father or your mother's husband is still alive, she's typically taken care of by him. But in the moment that your mama becomes a widow, it is our responsibility to step up and to take care of her. That's what the Word of God here says. 1 Timothy 5:4. Our text says, "But if a widow has children or grandchildren, let them learn first to show godliness to their own household and to make some return to their parents, for this is pleasing in the sight of God." You want to please God? You take care of mama. You take care of granny. You take care of those who are yours, right? That's our challenge as children and grandchildren. That's what godly kids and grandkids do. And this extends out even past children and grandchildren. It says here in the text to close relatives. Look at verse 16. "If any believing woman has relatives who are widows, let her care for them. Let the church not be burdened so that it may care for those who are truly widows." This is, again, it's what Christian families do. And if we don't, then you need to understand, according to the Word of God, that that says something very serious about the quality of our Christianity. And Paul doesn't mince words here. I mean, he is straightforward in verse 8 here. "But if anyone does not provide for his relatives, and especially for members of his own household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." You see, Jesus, he once challenged this tradition that was amongst the religious leaders there in his day. They would take their excess money and they would, quote unquote, give it to God. Now, they wouldn't actually give it away. They would actually just take it and earmark it as given to God. They would essentially put it in a savings account, if you will. And when their parents needed something in their old age, they would wickedly say, "Sorry, mama, I wish I could help you, but my extra money is tied up right now. It's been given to God." And Jesus straight up calls them out on it in Mark 7, beginning in the 9th verse. "And Jesus said to them, 'You have a fine way of rejecting the commandment of God in order to establish your tradition. For Moses said, honor your father and mother, and whoever reviles father or mother must surely die. But you say, if a man tells his father or his mother, what ever would have been gained from me as Corban, that is, given to God, then you no longer permit him to do anything for his father or mother, thus making void the word of God by your tradition that you've handed down, and many such things you do. So, beloved, listen, if you want to truly honor God, then honor your mother throughout her life, especially if she becomes a widow, by taking care of her. Care for her physically. Care for her emotionally. Care for her spiritually. So the first way for us as a church to care well for widows is to challenge family to care for their own. And then for the church, right? I didn't really talk about this, but for the church, I mean, the implication here is that we would help one another. We would hold one another accountable to this. The second way in our text, though, is this. You encourage younger widows to remarry. Encourage younger widows to remarry. That's what we as a church, that's how we help care for widows well. By younger widows, he actually defines it here in the text. Verse 9. He says, let a widow be enrolled if she is not less than 60 years of age. And so that's sort of the minimum there, right? Anyone under 60 shouldn't be enrolled as a widow for care in the church. Now, these younger widows, they still have a lot of life to live, right? They still have a lot to give to a family. And so Paul instructs in verse 14, so I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their household. Now, of course, women are no longer childbearing way before 60. But again, it's best, it says here in the text, for her to remarry. Again, this is not a commandment, but it is a strong encouragement. She could be a great help to a man without a wife. And he, even though it's not her first husband, and I get that, he could love her and care for her and provide for her and give her much needed companionship later in life. But actually, Paul doesn't even mention those things. He goes more for the spiritual need. Verses 11, he says he wants to help spiritually. Remarriage helps spiritually for younger widows. It gives them something to do with their time, right? We've heard over the years that idle hands is the devil's playground. And so that's essentially what he says here in verse 11 through 15. But refuse to enroll younger widows, for when their passions draw them away from Christ, they desire to marry and so incur condemnation for having abandoned their former faith. Besides that, they learn to be idlers, going about from house to house, and not only idlers, but also gossips and busybodies, saying what they should not. So I would have younger widows marry, bear children, manage their households, and give the adversary no occasion for slander. For some have already strayed after Satan. And so basically Paul is concerned here that a young widow who is not intentional about remarrying may find herself falling into sin. So therefore, one of the ways that we as a church, that we care well for widows, and young widows in particular, is to encourage them to remarry. Finally, the third way in our text here, though, as a church, if we're going to care well for widows, is to become family to the familyless widow. Become family to the familyless widow. Notice that Paul, he uses a qualifier there in verse 3. Honor widows who are truly widows. Now, what's a true widow? Well, he defines it there in verse 5. She who is truly a widow is left all alone. She has no husband. She has no son. She has no daughter. She has no close relatives. She's past the age for remarriage. In other words, she is familyless. Now just think about what a sad state of being that would be, to be familyless. Just like an orphan is familyless, a true widow is familyless. And it's our job as a church to become family to the familyless. These Christian women who are our true widows in our midst, they are our mothers in the faith, right? We're their family. And God says that it's our job as a church to honor them by taking care of them. Again, physically, emotionally, and spiritually. We're to enroll them, he says here, into a care list. You got to keep in mind, guys, in Paul's day, there was no Social Security coming. Women didn't have jobs, for the most part, that were able to sustain life. There was no inheritance coming oftentimes. Basically, what we saw and what we see here with widows, it was complete destitution. If they had nobody, if they were familyless, they were probably going to be completely impoverished and destitute. Therefore, the church was called on to step in and to make sure that widows who are needy were cared for completely by the church. Perhaps even in one sense, as you read the text and you look at history, perhaps even there's a sense in which they were employed by the church in the ministry of the church. Right, these widows who were being cared for by the church served the church and the community in the name of Jesus Christ. John MacArthur, he writes that these widows who were enrolled by the church likely had lots of duties. Their duties were surely included helping with the baptism of women, visiting the sick, visiting prisoners, teaching and discipling younger women, helping younger women rear and mature their children, and providing hospitality for visitors and strangers. They may have also assisted in placing orphans into proper Christian homes. That was a very important ministry in the Roman world, since orphaned or abandoned children wound up as slaves and often as prostitutes or gladiators. With their own husbands gone and their children grown, these widows had the time to pursue such essential ministries. And so we see here in the text, right, that these ladies, they become essential ministers in the local church. That's why we get this list of qualifiers here. For these widows who are to be enrolled in the church, they were, in one sense, representatives of the church. Verse 5, she has her hope set on God. Verse 9, she was faithful to her husband. Verse 10, she has a reputation of good works, like raising children, showing hospitality, washing the feet of the saints, caring for the afflicted. These were the type of widows to be enrolled for care by the church. They were strong representatives of Christ to the community and essential ministers in the life of the church. Would that the church see widows in this way today? Guys, think about the untapped ministry force that is often right in our midst, and we're just kind of overlooking. Would that widows would see themselves in this way as well. But nevertheless, most importantly, these mothers in the faith were taken in by the family of faith. We're to become family to the family. And we need to understand that we have a group of men here in the church that are set aside to be at the forefront of becoming family to the widows in our midst. Those men are our deacons. If you're one of our deacons, even if you're not active, but if you're one of the deacons of the church, would you stand this morning? Just stand for a moment. These men right here are the men who have been set aside and appointed by the church to make sure that the widows in our midst have family, that they're part of the family of God. Thank you, men, so much. Let's give our deacons a round of applause. They're the tip of the spear, as I said, to making sure that this segment in our church that is so easily overlooked, so easily forgotten about, is not forgotten, that they are cared for well. But they're not the only ones who are ministering to widows. It's incumbent upon all of us to become family to the familyless. So Eastwood, man, what a great day. What a great day to honor mothers and mothers in the faith. A few years ago, a man somehow he ended up buying two Mother's Day cards. He sent one to his mama, and because he was a really good planner and kept like a 3-year calendar, he filed the other one away in the May section of next year's calendar. Well, before the next year got around, his mother sadly died. And the next May, when he got open his calendar and he turned open to May, there was that Mother's Day card that he never got to send. And it just hit him that was an undeliverable card. That Mother's Day card could have been delivered, but now it could never be delivered unless the U.S. Postal Service could get a card to heaven. And the more he reflected on this undeliverable card, the more he realized how important it is for a person to honor and to love their mother as much as possible while they still can. Those of you who no longer have a mother here on earth with you, the woman who gave birth to you has already passed on in this life. You know the pain that it is. And how often you think, if I could just talk with her, if I could just see her, that would make me so happy. But I want to say to you, though, those of you who have mom still with you, don't miss an opportunity to love her and to honor her. Don't put into next year's calendar what could be and should be done today. And so I pray that mothers would feel the love of God that God meant for them to love. And I pray as a church, may widows in our church family be cared for as mothers in the faith.
Hi there, this is Pastor Ben. I have something really important to ask you, but first, I want to say thank you for taking the time to make this digital connection with us through our podcast. I hope the message you just listened to was a blessing, but an even greater blessing than this digital connection would be for you to connect with us in person this coming Sunday at one of Eastwood's two campuses where we get the joy of living life together in Jesus' name. And now for that really important question, which is the most important question you'll ever answer. Where do you stand before God? Now, based on what you've done, the straightforward answer is that you stand guilty and condemned before God. You are a sinner who completely deserves God's wrath forevermore in hell. And I deserve the same thing also. I mean, every person does. Guys, that's terrible news. And even worse is the fact that there's nothing you can do in and of yourself to change that. You need a Savior. But I have good news. God loved the world so much that he sent Jesus to be your Savior. Jesus came and lived the perfect life that you cannot live, and he stood condemned on the cross, dying the death you deserve. And 3 days later, Jesus was raised from the dead to prove to everybody that he is indeed the Savior of the world. And now Jesus longs to change your standing before God by making a trade with you. He desires to take what you've earned, which is the wrath of God in hell, and to give you in return what he has earned, which is the blessing of God in heaven. When this trade happens, instead of standing guilty and condemned before God, you will stand forgiven and righteous with the promise of everlasting life. So what must you do to have your standing before God changed? First, admit to God you are a sinner. Second, hate your sins. Turn from them and ask God to forgive you. And finally, turn to Jesus in faith and love, putting your complete hope in Jesus' life, death, and resurrection, and follow him until the day you die. Wherever you are listening to this podcast, Jesus is ready to make this trade with you. And I pray that you would trust in Jesus and be saved. Thank you again for connecting with us, and I hope to see you soon at Eastwood Baptist Church.